This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 14th, episode 2289, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Good morning. We hope you had a wonderful weekend playing with your ponies. The weather finally broke in Florida, and it's under 90 degrees over the weekend for the first time.
Wow.
So we're so happy that we could go outside again and not die. And I know everybody
out there with parkas and gloves and
and all those people up north with their serious snowfalls, and we're down here going, I can't stand this anymore. You know what really hit me? I got to tell you, what really hit me, Kayla, one of our auditors, posted over the weekend a sign that was at a liquor store, of all things, and it said, there are 3 months left in this decade. I think you should go for it. You know, I never thought about the fact that there are 3 months left in this decade.
You know what? Here, I see that, and I'm like, you know what? I did go for it. I went for it, and I'm tired.
You did.
The second I saw that sign, I was like, I already did.
You're going to the liquor store for a different reason.
I can't do anymore. Move out of the way. I'm coming in for vodka.
But it's a decade. I mean, I didn't think about the decade part. You know, you always think, oh, it's 3 months to the end of the year, right? But it just didn't hit me till I saw that sign and went, wow, a decade. We've been doing this a decade.
I know. It's going to be our, is it 10-year anniversary on
November
1st?
Yeah. What are we going to do to celebrate? I'll send you a bottle of wine, okay?
That's
right. We'll forget. We always do.
Hey, 5 days ago was our anniversary.
Woo! We celebrated in Kentucky. We had the dinner and had some Mexican.
Yeah. You didn't buy the dinner, so screw you.
No, but we didn't have to. One of our sponsors who's been with us for 10 years did, so...
She bought your dinner? She didn't buy my dinner.
No. Omega Alpha bought our dinner.
Oh, that night. Yes, I gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, so don't tell anybody, okay?
That doesn't count?
Thank you, Omega Alpha. So, speaking of Omega Alpha, we got Dr. Chang coming up today on the show. Going to be talking about some fun health stuff like he does every month. We have some first world problems. You did a clinic over the weekend we're going to talk about. And we have a bunch of news and other stuff that we're going to get to as well. But let's get started with the Daily Whinnies like we always do. Happy birthday to Lisa Grunewald. It is her birthday today. Happy birthday to her. She's one of our terrific auditors. We only had one, believe it or not. Now, I noticed that you have a birthday coming up, but I don't know when it is. When's your birthday?
You don't know when my birthday is till Facebook tells you.
That's right. And it didn't tell me. So I'm going, you just posted about your birthday and it's not showing up. Did I miss it?
You haven't missed it. My birthday's on Saturday.
Okay.
And, So on Saturday, funny enough, I'm going to be teaching a clinic in California for the Horse Sense and Healing. I'm doing another clinic for Monty at Flag Is Up Farm. So, by the way, I'll be coming live from Flag Is Up Farm Friday morning. Yay. So doing that this weekend, and Lucas is totally bummed that he's going to miss my birthday. So we'll have to do something ahead of time. But yeah, it's this weekend, and you know, Facebook always offers you that, do you want to do a fundraiser for your birthday? And this year I said, you know, what the heck? I don't know if anybody will donate, but there's the Horse and Hound Rescue Foundation, which is where I got Drax and Groot from. And Groot and I have had quite the epic adventure this year preparing for the Thoroughbred Makeover. And it's a great organization. They take horses off the track, give them their downtime, get them all healed up and ready to go, and then adopt them out. And they take dogs that are old and sick and that nobody wants. So they specialize in and take, like, when you drive up to Horse and Hound Rescue Foundation, there are 20 dogs that come up to your truck, but most of them are blind. Some of them have three legs. Like, it is a place where, like, the unwanted toys go. So it's just an awesome,
is
awesome
it an
place.
Island?
It is the island of misfit toys, the island of misfit dogs. And so it's a great place. So I decided to start a fundraiser for them. Like, why not? Let's see what happens. So, you know, they give you the obligatory $200, see if you can raise it. And so I put, sure, I'll do it for Horse and Hound Rescue Foundation. Holy moly, Glenn, you just donated. Aw. So I did the 200, and then I got 200 like immediately. And so I raised it to 300, and I got 300. And now, thanks to you, it's all the way up to $500.
Happy birthday.
Aw, buddy, that's so nice.
Well, that's where Baby Groot came from. He's given us a lot of entertainment on the show.
He's giving you a lot of entertainment in person.
A lot of fodder.
Yeah, that's so nice. So everybody that donated, I just can't believe it. So we're at $500, and this is a place that it is a husband and wife team, and they used to own racehorses, and they retired, and they're, you know, a older couple, and they just decided to give back to the racing world. And so they started this, they
Good
bought this
them.
Farm, and they have.
Now I'm really happy I donated.
I know they have 42 thoroughbreds right now that are currently at some point at of weight, either like downtime or healing. They take a lot of horses that are, you know, have bad knees or are broken, and they rehab them and they try to find them homes. They have 42 horses and 55 dogs at this farm.
That's a lot of dogs.
And it runs so well. They have the best volunteers. So yes, over the weekend, I actually decided to, she and I have been talking, and Nelda, who runs the rescue, is a fan of Monty Roberts. And so I volunteered to do a clinic for them, just for them and all their volunteers. You know, you get these horses off the track. Here's what we would do in the Monty Roberts world to solve some of the problems and to kind of get them started. Yeah. So we had about 15 volunteers. Do you want to do your housekeeping? Or let me just talk about it now.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so I didn't do my daily Winnie.
We're just getting ahead of ourselves here. Hold
We're just
on.
Getting ahead of ourselves. Sorry, we have no problem.
Jennifer's not here to keep us straight today.
I was able to teach the clinic because my dear sweet dad came in town and hung out with Lucas all day. He has actually been quite the champion. He took Lucas to the library. We went to Frontier City, which is like a broke ass Six Flags. And then we went to like ghetto Six Flags.
Well, you're still here, so the rides didn't fail.
I don't ride the rides, but my son did. And I had to take his cousin to ride the rides with him. So my dad and I kind of traipsed around Frontier City and the kids rode. And then they went to the Science Center, the Science Museum yesterday. It's been an action packed weekend for my poor dear dad, who is probably never coming back. But anyway, my daily Winnie was for my dad. All right, moving on. I know he's driving home right now, so he potentially could actually be listening. So,
hi, Dad. So you went and did this clinic. This is a good idea, by the way, doing clinics for these rescues like this and the volunteers.
Yeah, I just, first of all, I needed practice doing clinics. You know, I really have not taught. I teach the clinics at Flag Is Up, but there's a syllabus that we go through, and there's facilitators, and there's people that help me, and I have assistants and stuff like that. So this one was, all right, well, what do you guys want me to do? And so they told me, okay, well, we have three horses. One, we want you to show us how to teach the mounting block lesson, how to teach the horse to come to the mounting block. Okay, no problem. Okay, the second one is a horse that tosses its head. Okay, no problem. And the third horse is one that we are all basically afraid of.
Okay. That sounds like a Monty kind of horse right there.
No problem. So I get there, and I bring kind of my armor of long lines and dually halters and all the different things that I think I'll potentially need. Well, the horse that tosses its head, you put the bridle on and with the bit, it tosses its head. So maybe we need to look at some dental work and all this. No, you can't actually touch its head. It is so head shy, but once you kind of get close to it, you can touch its forehead, but you cannot touch this horse's
mouth.
How
old is this one?
7.
And right off the track?
Off the track, yeah. Mm. So they've had it for
a long time.
There's some really great trainers in the thoroughbred industry, but there's some really not so great ones. And this one came from a not so great trainer. The horse was very thin and they're rehabilitating it, but they also like to kind of get them, keep them in some form of work, just, you know, mounting and riding it in the round pen or something. And again, they have volunteers that do all of this. So they said they can't get the bridle on. I was like, oh, well, that is not what I thought I was getting myself into. And I was like, I need you to go to your kitchen and I need you to get me some honey and a stick, like a wooden spoon. She's like, what? Just do it. Trust me. So she didn't have honey. So we had syrup. So I came to the horse, and just trying to touch the horse on the mouth area was like a complete disaster. He's like throwing his head in the air, and I had the dually halter on, so I was able to, you know, kind of get him a little bit more near me. But he's one of those horses that's super distracted by everything. His friends are in one pasture, the people over there, just one of those like squirrel kind of horses. So I did a join up with him, and it's so funny. I did 3 join ups, and I do it exactly the same, and just to see how the horses all react differently to join up, you guys. So it might not always go completely perfect. Like, he came off the wall and walked to me and then ran right by me, you know. So several times we had to work on kind of sending him away and then asking him to come back. Finally get him, I get the line on him, and I go to touch his face. So I ended up taking the syrup, you put it on the end of the spoon, and you, as best as you can, you put it in the side of their mouth and you let them eat the syrup. And he's like, you know, blah, 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 I'm going to die. And then you take it out of his mouth, and then you walk him around, and then you put some more syrup on the stick. It just takes patience. Put some more syrup on the stick, stick it in his mouth. Took a while to get it in his mouth. By about the 10th time, he's letting me put it in his mouth. No problem. Here you go. I like that. And then you take it out and walk him around. And then I transferred it to the bit, and I put some syrup on the bit. And I have one of those Western things, because he's very ear shy, head shy. I unclipped the bridle. So it's just one strap, and you reach over their head, and you have the bit in your left hand, and you pull it up on the right, and you put it over behind their head and buckle it. And he took it no problem. So I thought the first one was a success. This is the first clinic I've ever done that wasn't like everything was laid out and everything was ready. I was one of those things like shooting from the hip, like, what you got? How am I going to fix it? Like, and fix it in like an hour, because we're like standing in the sun and everybody's just watching and people are asking questions. And we did that one. And then the next horse was a mounting block lesson, and he's a horse egg. They're like, he came off the track a week ago. Like, oh, this should be exciting. I'm telling you what, if y'all are looking for a quiet thoroughbred, go find him. He was amazing at one of the horses there. He was so calm and so chill and like in the round pen, like no big deal. I put the surf single on him. I've taught him the mounting in like 20 minutes. He's coming over to the mounting block.
Wouldn't it be interesting if you had the crystal ball and you could take those two horses that you just talked about side by side and go back and look at their training? And, you know, there's a study for you, right?
Well, Nelda, the woman who runs Horse and Hound, knows all these trainers. And she's like, that one came from the bad trainer and this one came from the good trainer. I mean, it's very obvious. It's like Baby Groot. I talked to her a little bit about him because he had so many remedial behaviors, which like when you went to pick up his foot, he like laid down the first time the farrier came. He just fell over.
That's right.
You remember that? Yeah. And then
I remember you coming on the air and saying, I'm not sure what I got here.
this might be bad. And the trainer finally told me, I was like, was there a trailer accident? Was there something that happened? He's like, no, we just gave him dorm. I mean, this is how you get him in the trailer. You just give him some dorm and put him in there. Like, no, that's not training. You're not a trainer. And so she's like, yep, that's
yeah, that's better than whipping them to death, though, right?
Well, then enter the third horse. Oh. So the third horse, the one that everybody was fairly afraid of, he's a young 3-year-old, and he had been with the trainer, and she didn't give me names or anything like that. So I don't think anything was inappropriate, she didn't give me names, but this guy was a quarter horse trainer and then decided to, and this is Oklahoma, you guys, like sometimes Oklahoma can be fairly Oklahoma. And so it was a quarter horse trainer, and he decided to start training thoroughbreds. Well, that didn't work. So he sent all the thoroughbreds over to Nelda's because,
he found out thoroughbreds were different than quarter horses.
They're different than quarter horses. And I think he used...
Here you go. I don't want them.
I feel bad for his quarter horses if this is how he worked with these thoroughbreds, because this horse, three or four years old, and comes in the round pen, name is Kona. And I'm like, okay, let's do a join up. I do a join up, and he is like perfect. As soon as I ask him to come off the wall, he's like, Velcro, please. I really want to trust somebody. And I trust, okay, I'll trust you right now. And so then we worked on the plastic bag on the stick, and it was very apparent quickly. He did not care about the plastic bag being on him. Not so ever, but you hold that whip, that stick with that plastic 3 feet away, he was gone.
He had seen that before, huh?
So yeah, anytime that this stick was on either side of him, he was freaking out. So that just means, and it was worse on his left side. So somebody held him, and whipped him on the right side. So he's been whipped quite a bit. And so the Horse and Hound Rescue Foundation got a grant for training. And so she was planning on sending a horse home with me to train. And after seeing this guy, she's like, I think I'll send this one home with you.
She's like, get this off my farm.
he just really needs somebody.
What the heck do you do about that? I mean, I get desensitizing to things that they, they're sensitive to, but that's a tough one.
It's going to be really tough. So kind of the way that horses learn is, think of their brain as, I know I've talked about this before, a filing cabinet, okay? And there's all these bad pictures that, like, you open that drawer and right at the front, all these bad pictures.
Yeah, it's like a constant nightmare.
Yeah. So, and it's really sad too, doing the plastic on them, they're so scared, but you got to get that out of them because they'll be scared for the rest of their life. And yes, their adrenaline gets up, and yes, they have, oh my God. And he took off around the pen a couple times and he's so scared, but
different than us flying when we're afraid of flying or, doing the things that we're scared of, right?
Face fears to get over them. And so, what I have to do is I have to replace those pictures in the front of the filing cabinet. And sometimes it'll take 10 pictures and sometimes it'll take 1,000. You just never know how deep.
What do you do to replace? Give an example.
The pictures. So what I ended up doing with him actually was I actually got a saddle on him. Once he joined up, he was very happy to have me kind of near. So I was able to get the saddle on him and the girth and long lines. And I long lined him, and I let every one of the volunteers came out and long lined him in the round pen with the halter on. So it was really, really, really well. And after that, she's like, yeah, I think you should take this one. So what I've got to do is I've just got to prove to him that there's not going to cause any pain. The whole thing is they just fear pain. And so I'm going to have to do a lot of, coming in and out with the plastic, in and out with sticks, in and out with beach balls, in and out with anything I can come at him with and retreat that is not going to hurt him. Because the main thing about the training in horses like this is you have to remember in their mind, we're predators is what they think. But a predator never retreats. A predator comes in and they are there, so you use that to prove to them that you're not a predator. You go in and you bring that scary, whatever it is, and then you take it away. And you don't just take it like say you have plastic on a stick and you take it in. Oh my God, she's going to hit me. It's going to hit me. It touches them. Okay, well, that didn't hurt. But they're still kind of freaking out and tense and running in sideways and all this. And you've got the plastic on them. As soon as they relax, you take it away. You don't take it away when they're freaking out, because then they're like, I win. I got away from it because I ran away. They're not going to learn anything. So you just go in, wait till they relax, and then out, in and out. And then coming approach and retreat with the plastic on a stick. Approach and retreat, like, I'll get some beach balls and we'll kick some beach balls around and it'll go in and scare him and touch him and it won't hurt and it goes away. So that's kind of a fun way to do it too, is like fill up the round pin with beach balls and we just walk around kicking beach balls. And then he's like, oh, nothing hurts. Nothing is going to hurt me. So you just have to reinvent the way that his brain is going to work. You know what I mean?
And I like what you said too. He wants to trust something. He needs a friend. Right.
Yeah. They desperately need a friend. Right. And that's going to be, I think, the biggest challenge with this horse is he very much found me as a friend. So I need to kind of generalize his learning by having other people do this stuff with him. So it's not just,
it's not, you're the safe one. Like, you're only okay. The safe one. Right.
The rest of you are awful.
You also, you know, so the rest of you suck.
Yeah. And so bless his heart, he's not going to be a high performance horse or anything. He's very back at the knee on this front left and club footed, but he'll make a nice trail horse. So that's kind of, it's going to be retraining my brain on how to get a horse started, because once I get a horse started, you take him out, you start teaching him to give his bid, you start teaching him a jump, you know, and so this is going to be different. It's like, no, none of that. And you can't really elevate the stress level in the riding. We're just going to go out and start trail riding. So I'll let you know how Kona does for the next month, but he should be here for about a month. And
there's your next business model. You go around to all these rescues and do clinics.
Yeah, except for when you're doing rescues for volunteers, it doesn't pay very well.
No, that's true.
Like I did it for free.
Yeah. So, okay. Not a great business model.
Not the best business model.
It's kind of like this business model, the show we do. It's like, yeah, same thing.
Yeah. You got
to maybe you ought to get one that actually pays something. Forget what I said.
I know, but you got to start somewhere. And I just was so happy to help. And so many of the people were just, they asked great questions. And why do you do that? Why do you do that? You know what, you guys, if you have a trainer and you ask them, why do you do that? And the trainer doesn't have an answer, find a new trainer. Hmm. There should always be an answer. Why do I post on a correct diagonal? If they say, I don't know, because it's in the rule book, that's the wrong answer. You know, there's a reason. There should be a reason. Recently, somebody posted in an Oklahoma page, hey, I'm looking for a natural horsemanship trainer. You know, who's out there? And I thought, let me reply. But then I started reading them and I was like, oh my gosh, like these, they're so like, we're going to charge you this, but you have to pay for the grain and you have to pay for the hay and you have to do, it doesn't include any food. And then there's this price, but you are only allowed to come over and watch your horse work by appointment only. Like, don't go to that trainer. You need to be able to go anytime and see what's going on with your horse. So just be really careful when you do find a trainer. Always ask why. If they don't know why, then maybe you should think about a new trainer. Sorry. Anyway, that's
well,
just
there you
my.
Go. Well, I'm sure that the rescue will be happy too with the donations coming in for the birthday.
Oh my gosh, you guys, she was like almost in tears when she, because I got there yesterday and it was already up past $200, and she's like, this is so amazing. So one of the other horses I looked at, I didn't work because I think he's massively needs some chiropractic and acupuncture. And she's like, I'll drive him to your vet because my vet does a great job with it. And I'm like, well, here you go. The donations paid for that. So you all are awesome. She's really does a great job saving horses. And thanks all of you for your donations. Oh my gosh, y'all are awesome.
All right. Well, before we get to Dr. Chang to talk more health stuff here about horses, I have some things I need to go over with everybody. And that is, first, we are moving some of the Horse Radio Network, and this is kind of behind the scenes, but it will affect you a little bit. We are moving some of the Horse Radio Network shows to a new host for hosting the sound files, getting them off our server and putting on somebody else's. So you may experience some downtime with a couple of the shows coming up here over the next couple of weeks to a month, which means if you go to listen to the show, it may not be there. Give it a day and go back to it, and it'll probably work. One of the big changes you're going to see, and you've already seen this with Stable Scoop for those that have subscribed to that show, is right now with the way our server's kind of overloaded, we can only serve up 15, 20, 30 episodes of an individual show. And that's all that shows up on your player. Well, now basically the whole catalog shows up on your player. So if you go look at Stable Scoop now, you're going to see 500 episodes going back to when we started 11, 12 years ago. So you can go back and listen to all the past shows much easier than you could now going to the website and hoping the players works and blah, blah, blah. So that's going to be much easier for you. And it also should be speedier. It should load quicker. So everything should be better as we get these shows transferred over. This show, Horses in the Morning, is our biggest show. It's 2,300 sound files that are all an hour and a half long. That's a lot of data. And
there's a lot of data in there too. Yes.
So we're going to transfer this one to the new server too, which should cure some of the problems. But biggest thing is you'll see more of the back catalog, and I know some of you have been complaining about that. So hopefully that'll be fixed here in the next month. Stable Scoop has a new season of stories this week, and for those that don't know, Stable Scoop was our first show, and it's kind of a storytelling show. We have several writers that write stories kind of in the Paul Harvey, Mike Rowe style, where they're all horse stories, they're all involving horses or horse people, and you don't know the answer till the end. So it leaves you guessing until the end what the answer to the story is. They're very short, 5-6 minutes each. There's a bunch of them. I think we've done 30 now of these stories. We had a different format with Stable Scoop before that, but Stable Scoop has a new website, and it got converted. So basically all the shows Helene and I did back 11, 12 years are in there now. And at the end of this episode of Horses in the Morning, I'm going to play one of the stories for you from Stable Scoop. So if you don't know what we're talking about, you'll get to hear it at the end. And we're also looking for new writers. And yes, it does pay a little bit to write the stories. So if you're interested in writing a story about history or about a horse or about a person in history, let me know. And if you kind of get the style, listen to a couple of them, send me an email at glenn@horseradionetwork.com. We can never have too many of these stories. So new season coming out starting this week. And then, believe it or not, We are a month away from needing the entries for Radiothon. Your voicemail entries, we need them in, you have a month, basically, to get them in before November the 18th. And the theme this year is the funniest or sneakiest thing your horse ever did. And if you have more than one horse, just pick one. Pick a horse. Doesn't matter. They've all done sneaky things. You, I don't know where you'd start.
I read that. I was like, oh my God. Like, how am I going to choose? I mean, I feel like you guys have heard all the zoo stories, so maybe I could find another horse that you haven't heard.
History, you must have others that have done some really sneaky things. And this could be at a show, it could be at home, it could be anywhere. If you don't have a horse currently, then I would say any animal, dog, a cat, you know, whatever, we don't care. Just get your entries in. Remember, the only way to win the up to $5,000 in prizes is to enter either a voicemail before Radiothon or to call that day. So there's the only two ways you can get entered to win all of those prizes. And I can confirm with you that WinTech has confirmed, and they will be giving away another saddle, your choice of any WinTech saddle. That's the grand prize that day. So once again, you know, that could be up to $1,000-$1,200 value. So we've confirmed that with them, and they're definitely on board for this year's Radiothon, plus all the other prizes we're going to be getting in. So there'll be a ton of them. So we need you to think about your entries and how you enter. Go to holidayradiothon.com, and the instructions are on there how to enter and leave the voicemails. It's very easy, very simple to do. Get creative. We want songs, poems like we've had in past years, stories, you know, however you want to do it. We've had some really creative entries, and the more creative, the more fun the day becomes. And for those that are new, we keep forgetting we have new listeners. What is Radiothon? It is 12 hours live on Cyber Monday, December the 2nd, the Monday after Thanksgiving every year. This is our fifth year doing this. We do 12 hours live. We have 20 hosts. We have dozens of guests. We have hundreds of callers. We have all of these voicemails. It's a very Christmassy holiday day. And it's meant to just have fun and be entertained and all hang out on basically a day before Christmas. And it started 5 years ago, believe it or not. Can you believe it's been 5 years? started 5 years ago on a whim just to do something fun at Christmas, and now
you
it's become a thing.
You did this to yourself.
I did. You know, we had over 65,000 downloads last year, so you can listen to it after if you don't catch it live, but a lot of people take the day off now and stay home and listen to it. So we would love to have you get involved in it. We get hundreds of entries and hundreds of calls. We had 225 calls over the 12 hours last year. So start thinking about your entries, holidayradiothon.com. All right, let's get to Dr. Chang now. Jennifer,
oh, by the way, yeah. I posted something on the auditor's page that you should look at.
Okay.
Because there's something that was at Horse and Hound Rescue Foundation that it needs me.
Oh, no. All right, let's talk about that. I'll take a look during Dr. Chang. Jennifer recorded this last week when we got she got a chance to talk to Dr. Chang. So let's take a listen to this. Of course, Dr. Chang is with Omega Alpha Equine, comes on once a month to give us some health advice. So we'll be back with some. You have really bad, or you have first world problems, right?
No, I don't. But the listeners do.
Okay. Here we go.
Once again, it's Monday. It's the first Monday of the month. So Dr. Chang is here. Dr. Chang is the chief cook and bottle washer, if I might call him that, at Omega Alpha Equine.
I have been known to clean the bathrooms, too, when needed.
You are the multi-purpose head of the food chain there, Dr. Chang.
And today, there you go.
Today, we're going to talk about gut health. So why don't we start this out with why should we care or whether or not our horse's health gut is healthy?
Okay. With gut health is just not one simple thing. I mean, a lot of people look for one answer and say, this is the one that we want to apply to make our gut healthy. For the horses, especially for performance horses, the gut is very important to how well they will do. If your horse has a happy gut, chances are they'll be healthy. And if they're healthy, they'll outperform much of the competition. But there are many aspects of gut health. For example, if your horse is under stress, which every performance horse will be at some point in time or the other, right? His gut is pumping out acids more than normal. He's stressing the gut out. There's that psychological factor. That in itself hurts the gut. Now, there's the other things. There's things like probiotics that will help with the gut. All right. Again, if you have the microbiome, which is the bacterial type of bacteria that you have in the gut, if there's a problem there, again, you have gut issues. If you have ulcers, those are gut issues. If you have hindgut ulcers, those are gut issues. So you can see there are many different rhymes and reasons why, ways that you can have an unhealthy gut.
So maybe you could dig a little bit deeper, because mm-hmm. you hear a lot about foregut and hindgut. What is mm-hmm. a foregut and what is a hindgut? What exactly parts are we talking about?
Usually when they talk about foregut, they're talking about the stomach, and anything past the stomach is usually referred to as the hindgut. Okay? But in the performance world, really, the gut is... They think of it as, some people want to think of it as just one spot on one organ system. It is one organ system, true, but where the problem occurs can be anywhere along that gut. And that gut could be very, very, very long. The small intestine, large intestine, you know, the cecum, the stomach, all that is part of the gut. Now, one of the things I wanted to stress is that something as simple as not feeding your horses hay is going to cause a problem. Let me back up here a little bit. One of the things with horses is that they pump out acids all the time. And most of us, when we feed our horses, we give them three squares, right? We feed them like how we would eat. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Sometimes people skip lunch and they go breakfast, dinner. Okay? Now, If all you do is feed them grain, they'll hoover up that grain very quickly. So between breakfast and dinner, there's nothing in the stomach. But acids are still being produced. And if the acids are still being produced, there's nothing to buffer that acid. And sometimes if there's nothing to buffer that acid will start attacking the lining of the stomach. Now, under normal circumstances, the lining of the stomach produces something called a mucilage, which is basically goop or goo, and it protect, and that lining that mucilage protects the lining of the stomach from the acids. However, under stressful situations, like anything else, that mucilage, you get less and less mucilage being produced. So one of the ways to counteract the acids is that you feed your horses Timothy hay, which is low energy hay, high roughage. So you're basically using it as gut fill and roughage. And basically what that will do is that it will buffer the acids, so lower the pH, so you have less issues with the stomach. And now I know that people will say, well, that will give my horse a hay belly, right? Now, hay belly could be caused by that, but really sometimes it can be caused by the microbiome, right? You're not having the right type of probiotics in the gut. So the microbiome is also a function of where you live. Like different parts of the country will have different types of probiotics in the gut, because the probiotics really initially started off coming from your environment. Okay? And if you're in an area where there's less of what we call the probiotics, you have a horse with a bigger problem with the stomach. So it's a good idea to supplement the horse with probiotics. What people don't realize about probiotics is that probiotics do not last forever in the gut. It's like anything else, they're living. So they'll come, they'll take up space, and if you don't continually give them, reinforce them by adding more and more of such probiotics, eventually they die off and they go and they get replaced by something else. Now, I know one of the big things nowadays, everybody's thinking prebiotics, prebiotics, prebiotics. That, by definition, prebiotics is anything that a probiotic will eat, a bacteria will eat. Well, for horses, you really don't need a prebiotic, because probiotics eat a lot of fiber, soluble fiber. So if you're feeding your horse a vegetarian meal, there's always fiber in there. There's always some sort of a fiber, soluble fiber. So a horse really doesn't need a prebiotic. But for marketing reasons, prebiotic is the new darling, right? It's the new darling on the human side, but it's not necessary for horses, because all their meals are vegetarian. So they have prebiotics coming out of their yin-yangs, okay? Now, again, there are things, these are some of the, what I call the preventative side. We talk about things like the gut fill, which is use low energy roughage. Then we talk a little bit about the probiotics, right? Now, then we also, if we go on the treatment side, we have to talk about things that will help with the ulcers, and also with the hindgut ulcers and the foregut ulcers, which foregut means the stomach ulcers, right? Omega Alpha has some pretty good products for the stomach ulcers as well as for the hindgut ulcers. We've had great results with our Regeneric product. That is something that I think most people should give a try to. Now, I know a lot of people have used a product called Omeprazole for stomach ulcers, and most of performance horses live during performance season on Omeprazole. The downside to Omeprazole, don't get me wrong, it's a wonderful product, but the downside to Omeprazole is that if you use it constantly, it inhibits acid release from the stomach. Now, what people don't realize, the acids from the stomach serves two major purposes. One, it hydrolyzes or breaks apart a lot of the hay that you're going to eat, right? So it breaks up a lot of the things like the proteins and so on, so that bacteria can get access to it, to break it down, so you can get the food and the nutrition out of it. Second thing that the acid is important for is that it inhibits the entry of bad bacteria, fungus, and mycoplasma to the hindgut. And what that means is that a lot of the bad bacteria and so on all of a sudden gets access to the hindgut. And because it gets access to the hindgut, you set yourself up for a lot of things like colic and a whole bunch of other, like the hindgut ulcers and so on. You set yourself up for that with long-term use of things like Omeprazole. Short-term use, Omeprazole is wonderful. You know, it will help, because it'll help the stomach ulcers heal. So with our Regenerate product, we don't have that problem, because what the Regenerate does, it actually stimulates the healing process, and it doesn't do it by inhibiting acids. Anyway.
So the Regenerate product helps to allow the horse to heal ulcers now, because ulcers being the hottest topic on Earth in the equestrian universe right now, there are foregut or stomach ulcers, and then there are hindgut. Don't ask me anything else about them except hindgut. Does the Regenerate EQ address one or the other or both?
In fact, we have some good data to show that it works on both foregut, stomach ulcers as well as hindgut ulcers. We have some actual data to show that on horses. So that's why, you know, this product works really well. But it's like anything else, people have to try it before they see it.
Now, for Regenerate in particular, is that something that is designed for continuous use, occasional use, use it and then for a specific period of time and then you're done?
During performance season, you can use it on a continuous basis. What we have found in our studies that if you use it for about 1 month to 2 months, stomach ulcers are actually healed. We have seen that using a scoping study. Okay, but again, right? One of the things about ulcers is it reoccurs very
exactly
during performance season.
That's when they're super stressed and they're likely to develop. So that makes sense. You use it to heal the ulcers, but then if you have a performance horse, come performance season, it makes sense to use it because then he doesn't develop bad ulcers to begin with. That's the point.
That's right. So, during performance season, most people will use it on a continuous basis, right? During when they're at rest, you don't need to give it to them unless you know they have ulcers. But sometimes I know you have horses that if you do a scope, you don't see. They don't seem to have any ulcers in the stomach, but then they have all the symptoms and signs of ulcers. Then that usually is a good indicator of a hindgut ulcer, right? And hindgut ulcers are a lot more difficult to actually see and detect, right?
Right, because they can't use that scope to see.
The scope doesn't get down that far,
right?
And so this is when, you know, people who have hindgut ulcers can actually do, if they use the Regenerate product, they will see a huge difference in the demeanor and also putting on weight on the horse. Another thing I should also stress is that the probiotics are very important, right? You know, one of the nice things about the Omega Upper probiotic product is that because it's a delivery mechanism, we have 8 different types of probiotics in there, so you get a broad spectrum of probiotics, right? And I always say about probiotics, there's nothing inherently special about probiotics as a bacteria, but the reason we call them a probiotic, a good bacteria, is that the body can handle the waste products that it produces a lot better than the waste products of the so-called bad bacteria, right? And the probiotics also produce things that are sometimes kill off some of the bad bacteria, so, and displaces some of the funguses, etc. But the probiotics, one of the biggest problems with introducing probiotics into the gut is that the acids in the stomach kill off a lot of the probiotics. But what we've done with our Biotic Aid, we've put it in soluble fiber. So when it gets wet, that mucilaginous paste actually protects the bacteria from the acids in the stomach. So it allows the bacteria to get access to the hindgut in a much larger quantity. I mean, in our studies, we've seen that 80% of all bacteria survive to get into the hindgut, as opposed to if we added the probiotics directly without the delivery mechanism, without the fiber, there's an 80% death rate of the introduced probiotics.
So with the probiotics, again, if you have a horse, is probiotic the Biotic Ache something that a horse with very little stress in his life can benefit from? I'm assuming that horses of any lifestyle supporting that microbiome could be really useful.
For sure, any and all horses will benefit from our probiotic product, the Biotic Aid, right? Just because, you know, you keep them healthy, you keep them happy, especially older horses, because if their gut is doing well, their digestion is better, they'll survive winters better, they'll look more healthy, sleeker, etc.
Sleeker, etc. And we all want sleek and
definitely
healthy, happy ponies, right?
Especially if you're looking at your horse and he's getting older there. You know, sometimes the teeth is giving you issues with some of these older horses. And that's another thing I didn't even touch about the teeth, right? Because sometimes the gut issues can stem from bad teeth, right? Uh-huh. Meaning that they're not chewing, so they're not getting as much food. Because horses need to chew their hay, because that's another way of breaking up the hay so that the bacteria and the acids can get access to it. You know, it's a cascade type reaction that we're thinking of here.
And gut health, even after this conversation, it can be so confusing, because there's what goes on in the stomach, and then there's what goes on after the stomach, and then there's what goes on in their mouth, and it's all, like you said, cascading. It's all related to each other. So if one of those three different sections isn't working to its best ability, everything mm-hmm. else is going to be thrown out of whack. So people get a little bit freaked out. So if someone is a little bit confused and not too sure which direction or what they need to address first, can they give the kind folks at Omega Alpha Equine a call or drop them an email and say, help?
Definitely. We have people here during the office hours, 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, Eastern Standard Time, that would be more than happy to take your calls. Or if you have an email, just drop it by.
So you can just go to omegaalpha.com, or if you just Google Omega Alpha Equine, their website pops right to the top. The contact information is all right there on the website. And like you said, everybody at Omega Alpha and Omega Alpha Equine are helpful and thoughtful, and will never make you feel like an idiot because you ask the same 10 questions 10 different ways, like I do. And you can, because you have to address the whole gut, but you have to address it properly, and you have to address it in order, and you have to address it in the right way. And that's what you guys are for. So thank you very much, Dr. Chang, for stopping by and visiting us again this month.
Thank you for having me on board again.
All right, we're back here on Horses in the Morning. Thank you so much for joining us today. And Dr. Chang's always a wealth of information. And thank you to Jennifer for getting that done. Do we have Jamie?
I'm right here.
Okay, good. So I looked at the picture you referenced. Jamie posted a picture in the auditor room. And
her name is Frida. And she needs me in, like, the worst way.
Frida's an appropriate name for a basset hound. Jamie's picture with another, what I'm picturing as an old basset hound.
I think she's six or seven years old, actually.
Do we remember how much the last basset hound rescue cost you over time?
It's not about that, Glenn.
Oh, okay. It was about that at the time.
yeah. Well, this one has... So her story is that she belonged to a couple. They had a couple dogs. And when the husband died, and I think shortly after the wife died, and nobody wanted the dogs. So the dogs ended up going to Horse and Hound. And so she needs me.
Yeah. Does Chad know this yet?
Well, Chad is on a trip, mm-hmm. and so
he's always
I
on a
know
trip
better.
When this happens. That's funny how that works.
I have learned not to just bring a dog home, because the last one, Little Marvel, almost caused a divorce.
That just goes shows you can learn. Wives can learn.
Yeah, well, you know what? I like to stay a wife. So I took about 400 selfies with Frida, and I'm sending them to him hourly.
Oh, he loves that too, I bet. That's just making his day.
Yeah. One an hour.
And
know.
I got to say, all the auditors are enablers. Y'all are enablers.
Every single one of them. Well, I mean, it's like they're right. She needs me.
Yeah,
and
well,
I need to take
Jane posts, and Jane, I have a bone to pick with you. She says, yes, do it. I've got 4 rescue bassets. After 2 dogs, it's really all the same. No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No,
she's
not.
Totally right.
It's not, Jane. It's not. You're an enabler.
She needs me.
Enabler. That's all I have to say. Let's go on to this.
That's right. Remember, if you have an equestrian problem, it is a first world problem because we're lucky enough to have horses and wake up and live and breathe and complain about them. So, yeah, I mean, it's just really sad, Glenn. Like, our listeners have real sad problems. Like, I mean, and this one affects you. So Kat says,
why am I in on this one?
You're in on this one. I started my dream job 2 weeks ago. But it means I have way less time for listening to HRN, and I'm having major FOMO, FOMO. I know somebody told me what that was, but I can't remember.
Fear of missing out.
Oh, okay. She's having major FOMO. Well, you missed out today because you didn't see the picture of the dog. Caroline says,
Can I go back to that one? We all wish we didn't have jobs. Okay. So I'm with you.
It's true. Caroline says, I didn't ride for as long as I could have this afternoon because my young mare was too good and I wanted to give her a reward. Ugh, I get it. I rode Drax on Saturday and he hasn't been ridden like since before the makeover and he was flipping perfect. And I was like, well, I have to get off now, but I wanted to keep riding. And Sally said that's exactly her first world problem, too. So, like, our horses are all so good that we're just such great trainers. Lily says that this might be TMI.
Probably is.
if you lead with that.
Yeah, it probably is.
Yeah, probably is. My landlord did some maintenance on my shower, and now my shower is too loud, and I can't hear my phone speaker. So, like, now I can't listen to HRN while I'm getting ready in the morning. It's not fair. See, those are all related.
Do you listen to podcasts in the shower, by the way?
No.
I do. I know exactly what she's talking about. My speaker only goes up so loud on the Bluetooth, and it is a problem.
Oh, well, I've tried to. I have a little Bluetooth speaker that I'll set in the bathroom, but then when I'm in the shower, I can't hear it, and I miss things. So,
I put
yeah.
it on the ledge right above the shower. I'm not sure. I'm sure it's not good for it. I'm sure it's getting splattered with the water.
Steam.
water. I mean, you know, aren't you happy to know people listen to us in the shower?
When you're washing your butt, think of me. You know, what's funny is I listen to this one particular podcast when I'm cleaning stalls, and I can't now listen to it any other time because all I think of is cleaning stalls. I got to clean the stall.
Get in a routine. There's certain shows you listen to doing certain things. That's true.
Yeah. Jane says, I had to work on Saturday, so my husband went grocery shopping alone. Why would you do that? So he didn't bring back any snacks for me, but of course he bought the biggest bag of carrots he could find for my horse. So now I'm hungry and I don't have any chips. Girl's gotta have some chips. Kimberly says,
chips are my favorite food group.
Yes. Kimberly says, the last two times I went to a tack store, my husband was with me. Two different tack stores. God, leave him in the car.
Jennifer goes every Saturday morning to town to get like grain and things, but it's just to go to the tack shops because we have like 65 of them within 10 minutes.
And I'm never invited for some.
No,
because you would say, you don't need that. And she'd say, I don't need this negativity in my life.
That's
okay.
Right. That's right.
Jenna says, I got an awesome new heated vest, but I don't want to wear it in the morning when it's cold because I don't want it to get dirty. That's why you have it, honey.
Yeah.
Put that thing on and warm up.
Warm up.
Emily says, my Mini is so cute and fun to drive, and I keep driving her too long, and then I don't have time to ride my horse.
Poor Mini. Little legs are falling off.
Like, revert back to the first one, which is when they're good, stop.
Yeah, stop.
Then you have time for both. Elena says, today my boyfriend and I were going to go to the Japanese Garden, but I was watching the Junior Equitation Championships and I wanted to watch till the end. And by the time at the end, the garden was closed and now my boyfriend won't speak to me.
Okay, first of all, the boyfriend wanted to go to a garden.
Yeah.
There's that. I mean, that's a keeper there.
Nellie says, a friend of mine gave me a beautiful oil painting of my mare. But now I miss her even more when I'm at home.
Oh, that, I thought about that. I thought about these people who do get portraits of horses that are no longer with us. It is
no,
a constant
I think
reminder.
She still has, he's still alive. She just
oh, okay. Because like, I was thinking about that. Yeah, I was thinking of the other way.
That's how first world it is. It's not, the horse is dead. She's just not scared.
Okay, that's first world.
Real eyeballs. Ellen says, I went to the tack shop and I bought new paddock boots and half chaps that actually fit me and I even got 30% off. But at the checkout, I had to wait an extra 5 minutes because the email they sent me for the gift certificate I was using didn't have the gift certificate number on it, so they had to call headquarters. Oh, 5 minutes. It's like they were free. Okay?
I have a list down below that we'll have to do on Wednesday. 9 signs you might have an equestrian shopping habit.
Well, we all have it. So I don't know. You have horses. Is that the list? Number 1 through 9.
Yeah, that's right.
Carrie says that my zippers on my tall boots broke, so obviously I have to shop for new ones. However, there are so many cute options that I'll probably have to get at least 2. Refer back to the past. You have a problem. Which, embrace it. TJ says, I wanted to test my mini for worms, but she shares a paddock with 2 other minis and she won't poop in front of anyone. That's hard, man. You got it. You got to just, I remember I worked at a vet clinic and we had to do fecals on all the horses that were being boarded. And we literally, I was like, I'm getting paid by the hour. I don't care. I just sit in the field and wait for somebody to poop. Run over and grab it. Lisa, this.
Most horses don't have a problem pooping in front of people or other horses.
I know. That's some do, though. One. Some don't want to. Lisa says, and this is cause for, this is the whole thing about goats. My 6 goats share a field with my OTTB, and they have recently developed a taste for his hair. First, they gave him bangs, and yesterday they started shortening his mane, and he lets me. Why would you, that's why the Chad is like, there's 2 things that I will get a divorce from, and that is bringing home a goat or a cat.
Yeah, I'm with him on the goats and the cats, actually. I'm with him on both. We've Rebecca never owned a goat in all the years we've had animals. We've never owned a goat.
Well, we didn't get goats because we lived next to somebody in Arizona that had goats, and the goats were always climbing on top of his pickup truck and eating the leaves off the tree above because they always parked their truck under the tree. And like he was like, I will never own a goat. You can't keep them out of anything.
Yeah, most husbands are not going to put up with the goat on the pickup truck. That's yeah. not going to go far.
Rebecca says, and this is the last one, I finally finished building my tech room, and after consolidating all my stuff from my house, basement, truck, trailer, and laundry room, I know I'll never need to buy another saddle pad, polo wraps, brushes, splint boots, girths, stirrup leathers, hoof picks, and bridles, or anything. But I know I will. And what's so odd about that is as soon as she typed that, I was like, oh my God, I do need some new brushes. I went on Amazon and I was like, just looking at the different kinds there. And like, I've gone on Horse Lovers. It's a problem.
Do you have tack shops near you, or they're all Western? Probably.
There's a tack shop, in Purcell, Oklahoma. And there's a tack shop in Northeast Oklahoma City. But I don't. I think that's the one hike, in Northeast Oklahoma City, it's like an hour, and it is racetrack stuff because that's where the track is. And then the one south has a little bit of English stuff, but mainly they're just Western.
Yeah, you're just doing Western. Well, I have a couple news stories before we get to our Stable Scoop story that we're going to end the show with. One is Andrew Hoy, the eventer out of Australia, 3-time gold medalist, has qualified to compete in Tokyo at his 8th Olympics.
God.
He qualified 2 horses for Tokyo after finishing 2nd in a show over in Poland. So that ended on Sunday. He's 60 years old. He's already won 4 Olympic medals, gold in the 3-day team at Barcelona in 1992, Atlanta in 1996, and Sydney in 2000, and silver in the individual 3-day in Sydney.
First, coming in, we have another equestrian first world problem that just got put in. This is from Andrew, and he says, I qualified 2 horses for the Olympics, and I just can't decide which one to take. Oh, my God. Who do I take?
He becomes the 14th athlete to compete at 8 or more Olympic Games. So, and two have competed at 9 and one at 10.
Are those equestrians or
no,
those?
No, just athletes, period. So, because, you know, most of those sports, you can, after 8, you're too old.
Either become an inventor or a guy who shoots.
Or does, like a shooter. What's that thing with the ice and the little ball?
Yeah, curling.
Curling, yes, guys. That's right. You could probably do that into your old age. I don't think that matters much. But yeah, isn't that amazing that he's doing that? By the way, we're going to start hearing a lot more Olympic talk, and you're going to see a lot more Olympic stories, because that's coming up in the new decade next year. Also, we get these about once a year, and that is a student in North Carolina missed the bus and decided to take her horse to school. Now, usually it doesn't end well, and the school gets all pissy about it. Well, school officials here were proud of her dedication and admired her for it. She actually got on her horse and rode it to school, and they posted it on Facebook with her picture and contacted the parents to come get the horse and take him home safely. But yeah, so we get one of those stories about once a year, and usually the school's all upset and they suspend the student and all of that. This time, it's North Carolina. They don't care if you take your horse to school.
I rode my pony to school in Atlanta in like fourth grade, and my dad had to walk behind me and lead it home. What was that point of that? I just rode my pony to school. Say, here you go, Dad. And now, knowing what I know, I would never let my dad lead my horse down a busy road. What was I thinking?
That's funny. You didn't think about that when you were a kid.
No.
Well, we have something for you right now. We're going to play for you one of the stories from Stable Scoop to get you all excited for the new season of stories that are coming out. And also, we have some aspiring writers in the audience who think they can write a story backwards, where you don't know the end till the end, then definitely contact me at glenn@horseradionetwork.com. As I said, it does pay a little bit of money to write the stories. This one today that
I'm getting my pen.
There, get your pen out. This one was written by one of our listeners, Biz Stam. She wrote this story, and it's called The Unruly Runt, the story that proves following instinct and having a little patience with a horse can pay off big time. So we're going to play that for you. We'll be back tomorrow with the Certified Horsemanship Association, and she has like 25 guests lined up. And then on Wednesday, Jamie's back. And on Thursday, it is the fox hunting episode. So that's all coming up on this week's shows. And, of course, really bad ads on Friday. Get your ads into Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. And now, a little stable scoop for you.
Spay, neuter, geld.
Claiborne Farm in Paris, Kentucky has become known for producing top-quality thoroughbreds over the years. Importing many class horses from Europe, the breeding program at Claiborne was able to produce many top sires, most notably Sir Galahad, a talented French stallion who was shipped stateside to stand stud for a successful racing career. As good of a racehorse as he was, Sir Galahad was 10 times the sire. Over the course of the 1930s and 40s, he produced several stakes winners, with his shining achievement being Gallant Fox, the 1930 Triple Crown winner. As grand as his reign was, all good things must come to an end. Sir Galahad passed away at the age of 29, leaving an indelible mark on the racing industry and a notable absence in the Claiborne Farm breeding program. With the legacy of excellence and class cultivated by horses such as Sir Galahad, one might wonder how the untested, uncooperative, and unattractive chestnut stallion, your host, made it into the Claiborne Farm breeding program. Perhaps it was his fighting nature and resilience that allowed him to overcome a shattered foreleg, an injury that would have proved fatal to most other horses, and that sparked the interest of the breeder, Allaire DuPont. The thoroughbred broodmare, Maid of Flight, seemed a bit out of place at Claiborne Farm as well. She showed very little resemblance to her grandsire, Man of War. She certainly didn't inherit his speed, but perhaps Mrs. DuPont saw promise in her pedigree. So off to the breeding shed they both went. Claiborne yardmaster Arthur Hancock couldn't have had any kind of great expectations for this misfit pairing, but he was downright embarrassed at the unruly runt of a foal that was born. Allaire DuPont, however, knew excellence. An Olympic trap shooter, champion tennis player, and an avid glider pilot, she knew what it took to be the best. She thought the little dark bay with his sire's fighting spirit could be the best, though she thought he could just use a little less fighting spirit. In an attempt to make the young colt a bit easier to handle, she had him gelded. Most, however, say the effort was futile and that the young horse remained the unruly runt. As a 2-year-old, the feisty dark bay made his racing debut in a maiden race at the Atlantic City Racecourse. Piloted by jockey John Block, the young gelding won the race. He raced one more time as a 2-year-old, coming in second place, but his trainer felt he could benefit from a bit more time to mature. Like fine wine, aged to perfection, some things are just worth waiting for. Like a premium vintage bottle, the young gelding's trainer was waiting for the perfect time to uncork his potential. As the sun set on his 2-year-old year, the time still wasn't right. As he turned 3 and the prestigious Triple Crown races approached, the race is known to have the ability to forge a horse's name in the history books, the time still wasn't right. It wasn't until after the white carnations had been draped over the neck of that year's Belmont Stakes winner that the young gelding made his return. His first race as a 3-year-old was at Mammoth Park. He was tough, agile, and hated having horses in front of him. He used that gritty determination to take the lead and then win. The win at Mammoth Park was his first of many in his 3-year-old year. That year, he went on to win a total of 8 races, 6 of them being stakes races. In one of those races, he was able to match the record set by his grandsire, Man of War, at 1 5/8. It was a very successful year for the late blooming 3-year-old, so successful that he was named Horse of the Year despite never running a single stride in a Triple Crown race. He was dominant as a 4-year-old, winning 7 of 9 starts, once again earning the title Horse of the Year. While most horses would be looking towards retirement at 5 years old, the once unruly runt, now a little bit less of a runt, but still very unruly, was just getting started. He dominated as a 5-year-old, was even better as a 6, and set a national record as a 7-year-old for 1.5 miles on turf, as well as a record for 2 miles on dirt, which is yet to be bested to this very day. He loved to run and showed no signs of stopping when he turned 8 and then 9. He earned an unprecedented 5 Horse of the Year titles, making him the only horse in the history of racing ever to win more than 3 Horse of the Year titles. Not long after the start of his 9-year-old season, however, he suffered a fractured sesamoid bone, which prompted his retirement from racing. Typically, a horse with such a long, successful career would head straight to the breeding barn, but oh yeah, he was gelded, and that certainly wasn't an option. Neither was simply being put out to pasture, as he was still bursting with life and competitive spirit. Instead, he found a second career out in the show jumping ring and then on the hunt field with his owner, Mrs. DuPont, the woman who saw greatness in him right from the start and lovingly named him after her dear friend. In this day and age where people desire instant gratification and overnight success, they find it hard to have the patience to deal with an unruly runt. But stories like this remind us that some things are worth the wait. That waiting and patience gave us one of the best racehorses in history. The name of that unruly runt was Kelso.
In the 1961 Metropolitan, the first leg of the coveted handicap Triple Crown, the favorite Kelso is saddled with a huge weight disadvantage and seems hopelessly out of it at the head of the stretch.
Coming into the stretch, All Hands has a 3-length margin. Sweet William second, Mail Order third, Cranberry Sauce is fourth, and Kelso and Arcaro looking for running room from fifth position, now swinging up on the outside fourth. In deep stretch, it looks like a victory for All Hands this afternoon, but Kelso is flying on the outside. Ikaz is digging on All Hands, but here comes Kelso on the outside. What a finish! It's Kelso by a nose! Kelso has won an incredible Metropolitan Mile!
The story was written by Biz Stam. You can find more of her writings at horsenation.com. Well, thanks, Biz, for that great story. I have a couple of other things about Kelso you might want to know. He won 62% of his starts, 39 out of 63 starts. He finished in the money 84% of the time. He won an unprecedented 5 Horse of the Year titles, by the way. There's still no other horse in history that's won more than 3. And he set 9 track records. In 1967, he was elected to the National Museum of Racing Hall of Fame. In October of 1983, the 26-year-old Kelso paraded prior to the start of the Jockey Club Gold Cup at Belmont Park, along with champion horse Forgo, in front of a crowd of 32,000 spectators. And you know what? It was his final public appearance. He died the very next day, October 16th of 1983. He had his last hurrah. I think that's so cool that he got to do that. He's buried in the Equine Cemetery at Allaire DuPont's Woodstock Farm in Chesapeake City,
Maryland. Poggio and Sam Bonita's driving up on the outside, trying to get to the leader, but they're not going to do it. Kelso is going to be a big winner here this afternoon as he takes the 42nd running of the Jockey Club Gold Cup.